Hey everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is going to really help us think outside the boxes when it comes to lead generation. You know, a lot of us are focused on the touches that we do, the systematic follow-up. The guest today, his name is Matt Johnson. He's the founder of a podcast production agency. And you're probably wondering, why are we talking about this, Mary Lou? And I'm going to let Matt take it away because he said a couple things to me that were really intriguing. And I know that you guys are going to love this discussion. So without further ado, Matt, welcome to the podcast. Start by telling us what you do and how you serve.
Yes. So thanks so much. First of all, I'm super excited to be here. I read the book Predictable Revenue years ago. And so this is kind of a little mini dream for me to be here as it is. So So the skinny is I accidentally kind of stumbled onto some really interesting lead generation strategies that use podcasting in unconventional ways. So we'll get into more of the tactical side of it. But suffice it to say, like when I first got into podcasting, I was able to generate 15-minute appointments with people just by reaching out with a very simple script on LinkedIn and offering to introduce them to a podcast host. Now, I was doing it partly for networking and relationships. That ended up getting me directly onto the phone with potential clients. And then those intro 15-minute calls would turn into sales appointments. Some of my best clients and good friends, frankly, came from that strategy, including the man that I now consider my business coach and mentor actually came from that strategy. And then there's all kinds of fun stuff you can do. You can actually run a podcast as a lead generator, or you as a sales executive can build your own brand by getting featured on podcasts as a guest. And so we're going to talk about just kind of the interesting out-of-the-box ways to use podcasting to generate sales appointments or, you know, build your own personal brand as a sales executive and present yourself as an expert in what your clients do. So when you get on the phone with them, there's already a built-in level of respect and they know that you know that their business. So that's kind of the short version.
Okay, very good. You know, I know that some of you are thinking, I am an SDR. I am someone, a sales development rep, just starting out. How does this work for somebody like me? And when Matt, if you could just walk us through a typical scenario. And again, Matt prefaced this as any level of skill in the sales chain. So whether you're a marketing response rep getting inbound calls, if you're an outbound person, if you work on referrals, if you do account management or a sales executive, any of those roles are applicable to what Matt's going to teach us today when it comes to lead gen and getting those 15 minutes for that, what we call AWAF call, the Are We a Fit call. So Matt, let's go through, kind of walk us through how this would work and when we would want to use this.
Yeah. So if I were an SDR starting out in today's environment, knowing what I know about podcasting, here's how I would do it. I would go out and I would look at the podcasts where my potential clients might be good guests for that show. And I would put a list together of, let's say, 10 or 15 of those podcasts. And there's now 700,000 podcasts on iTunes. So believe me, there's probably more out there than you think that would apply very, very specifically to the people that you want to sell to. So if you know who you want to sell to, if you know who you want relationships with, then it's relatively easy to find the podcast that they should be listening to if they're not already. So go find those podcasts. Okay. So my first step would be to reach out and start building relationships with the host. And I would track down their email and I would just send them a short, cold email like that goes something like this. Hey, my name is so-and-so. I work with XYZ company and I constantly meet good people that I think might be good fits for your podcast because they're in such and such industry. And here's who they typically are. I noticed that you run a podcast in this space. I was just curious if you're open, if I run across somebody that I think might be a good guest, would you be okay if I introduce them or pass them along to you? Now, speaking as a podcast host, that's a no-brainer yes for me. Mm-hmm. The only question is, are you going to follow through and are you going to send me people that are a waste of my time? So you could offer, if they say yes, great, run with it. If they want to jump on a call and tell you who their ideal client is, by all means do that because that's your core, your foundation, the relationships with a couple of handfuls of podcast hosts. That's your leverage to now then go to step two. So you build those relationships with the podcast hosts. Now you're going to go to step two, which is to go out into the market and either find the cold emails of the people that you want to reach out to, or even better yet, as you're building up your like LinkedIn presence, like I was, a lot of my potential clients were one to maybe two steps removed on LinkedIn. And I was starting to build my network to the point where when I found somebody on LinkedIn that I wanted to reach out to, I personally knew one of those mutual friends. So then I would send a very, very short message, like with a connect request or something like that, that went something like this. Hey, John, I noticed that we're connected through Mandy McEwen. I just talked to her the other day. She's awesome. I just happened to check out your profile real quick and thought you might be a good guest for this podcast. I know if you're interested, let me know and I can either shoot over some details or we can jump on a quick call. So it's two very short, essentially 2 to 3 sentence messages. I think my response rate back in the day, and it's been a couple of years since I did this as an active lead gen strategy, but my response rate was insane. When I'm dropping a real mutual name, it was over 50% was yes. And a lot of times those yeses were to a 15-minute phone call. And that's where I mentioned that was really impactful because I was able to get on the line with my ideal clients and even the influencers that were one level above them and build really good relationships. And of course, the natural question is like, hey, what do you do? And I would just give them, you know, the idea behind my company, like, hey, this is what we do. And because they were a good fit, because I was reaching out to people who were my ideal clients, and their reaction was, oh, well, maybe you and I need to have a conversation. And of course, that leads to, great, let's set up another call. And it was kind of that, an exploratory or discovery call. And so, yeah, that very simple progression of build relationships with podcast hosts, which is what gives you the excuse for step two to reach out and offer to introduce them. But the principle there, you could do it without podcasting, but it works a lot better right now using podcasting as the bait because just the environment that we're in right now. But the principle is the same, which is you reach out with an offer of a strategic introduction that adds legitimate value to that person's life. And then the only question is, you know, just how do you execute on making the introduction? And do you ask them to do a phone call first or you know, make the introduction and then follow up later?
Right. Now, you know, let's compare that, everyone who's been knowing my waterfalls, you know, a 50% response rate. Let's say it's 40%. You know, the average sequence, we are hoping for somewhere between 11 and 20% response rate over the course of X number of touches. And, you know, in the old predictable revenue book way back in 2011, we were hoping for a 7 to 9% response rate on one email. So, you know, these numbers, just think of how valuable the list would be. You wouldn't be wasting names in the list. And you don't have to do this with a ton of records. You know, basically you're working to fill up your funnel with accounts that you think are a good fit. And you would use this another tool in the toolkit for you to be able to start having conversations, because that's what it's all about. It's starting conversations with people we don't know and getting a relationship started so that we can move them and advance them in the pipeline towards an opportunity. So when you first approach people with this process and this concept, Matt, what is the overall reaction of people to do this type of lead generation? Are they scared? Are they excited? Are they like somewhere in the middle? What do people think?
Well, we're in an interesting time with podcasting because people are very, very open to it. And there's a few industries where I ran into where there was a little bit of suspicion. Financial advising, wealth management was one of them. Just an old, very traditional industry. And I was booking, you know, rank and file financial advisors on a podcast at that time and just kind of testing it out and seeing how it went. So I do think there are industries where podcasting hasn't made as much inroads, where there'll still be some fear or hesitation. But even then, my response rate was still really good. And out of the people that I introduced or booked on a podcast, it was, you know, it was half of the people. Like I had to do maybe twice as much of the work to get them booked and nailed down, but it wasn't that much more. And then the influencers in that space were just as eager as influencers in any other space. And so even in industries that you think might be a little stodgy and out of touch with the podcasting angle, still give it a try, because it might just be the rank and file people that it takes a little bit of extra hand holding, but everybody else in that space might be gung ho and ready to show up on a show. And that's all you need. All you need is that openness, because that's what gives you the ability to reach out and get that easy yes, you know, to a phone call or to an introduction.
Right. And I will tell you all that, you know, the first one of building a relationship with a podcaster. I love it when you guys reach out to me and tell me, you know, hey, you should have so-and-so on your podcast, or, hey, I'd love this topic discussed on your podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for talent. I'm always looking for content. I'm always looking to enrich the work that we're doing with this podcast so that you guys feel super charged and ready to go out and do your lead gen. The other thing I want to say, Matt, that I use it for this type of work is to get referrals. Because if you triangulate and you say to the guy, well, not a good fit, but hey, if you have a colleague, or do you know of a colleague or two that might be interested in this, now you're starting to grow your list of potential mm-hmm. prospects, also potential people who can help out later on in the sales process. So I use it for that as well. I use it to take, you know, one call gets me two referrals. You know, that's always my goal when I'm working on that.
Yeah. I just interviewed somebody the other day that said something similar. And I love that approach. In fact, I don't always utilize that as much as I should personally, even though I do think of things through the realm of relationships. I don't always keep that in mind to on every phone call, ask for referrals of some kind. And it's true though. Anytime you're on the phone with somebody that's in the right space, they all know, they're all of their peers, all of their colleagues, you know, everybody knows somebody or a couple of people that it's a good fit for whatever you sell. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask.
So this is any level podcasting lead gen, getting us to that 15-minute AWAF call, the Are We a Fit call. Mm-hmm. Let's segue over to the other type of way to use podcasting. You mentioned that we can look at it as building our brand, mm-hmm. as for social proof. You know, if for me, for example, the author of two books, that gives me a certain level of clout that mm-hmm. the podcast is only enhanced. You know, for example, no one has ever asked me for a reference in any of the accounts I've worked in ever. And it's like, you know, and a lot of that is because there's this presumed expertise that that I possess, or they think I possess. And a lot of it is because of the fact that I'm out there all the time speaking on the topic, talking with people who are experts in the topic, talking with people who are practitioners of the topic, which is mm-hmm. always a wonderful thing to do. So let's talk about that side of it and what you've seen there. And if there's a process around that, I'd love to hear that as well.
Yeah, well, I think just I want to comment on the overall strategy first, because you're right about that. There's a presumption of expertise, and I think we can have expertise on two levels. Obviously, we want to be an expert in what we're selling. But one of the things that I noticed that I didn't do this intentionally, but I happened into this strategy because of how I came to podcasting, was by interviewing all of the top people in the niche that I was selling into. Mm-hmm. And I'd read all the books. I knew who all the players were. I knew who the coaches and the influencers were. And so I unintentionally became an expert in what they did. So when I was having conversations with people that eventually turned into clients, it didn't very much revolve around my service, right? It was more about their business. And I was able to have very, very in-depth, intelligent conversations and ask really good questions because I understood their business at a deep level. I became an expert, not just in what I did, but I became an expert in what my clients did. And that really changed the conversation for me. So it became less about, like, the sales conversations were less about my service. Like, the actual description and talking them through what I did and getting them to sign up was like 5 minutes. It was 45 and 50 minutes of talking about their business and then the bigger strategy and stuff, and understanding where their head was at and what their goals were. And then they were like, okay, now how can this help me? And I would give them the elevator pitch, and they're like, yep, send the contract over, let's do it. So it does change the conversation.
That's great. And I think a lot of it is there's also a perception that, especially if we look at our bullseye of influencers that we work with to get people to close, there's decision makers, there's direct influencers, there's indirect influencers, stakeholders. And so there's a lot of people with whom we have dialogue with, and all of them need to feel comfortable that we know what we're talking about, that we've got their, we got their back, and that we're really focused on the business. So this gives a nice way of really getting in deep with people and having you represent them in the sales process, in the sales cycle, as a champion of what they're trying to accomplish, what challenges they have, the outcomes that they're trying to pursue, and also, the new normal of what you can do, what you can bring to the table that they might not have even thought about. Now, to get to that discussion, you typically have to have a better relationship with the stakeholders in order to get to this new normal, because they're trying to just satisfy what they think is the solution to the problem. But a lot of times when we're selling, we want to be able to bridge the gap of what they actually want and what we can provide them, because that is what sets us apart from the competition.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, just from your perspective, how many, like the percentage of the audience, maybe, how many of them do you feel like are selling something that their potential clients are not expecting to be pitched, versus this, they're selling something that kind of fits into an established category or a line item in the budget where they already know they need it. The only question is, who are they going to get it from?
Well, there's a combination. If we look at the, you know, draw a box and then a vertical line and a horizontal line, you've got a quadrant, four quadrants. Mm-hmm. My guys fit in all those quadrants. They're selling existing products to new and existing clients. They're selling new products to new and existing clients. So at any given time, there is going to be a conversation in one of those areas. And I think that this prepares them to be able to have those conversations and to switch depending on where they're at in the sales process and also with whom they're speaking with. But a lot of times we do have to sell above the expectation, because people are supposedly well educated these days and know the outcome that they're trying to achieve. But to sell better, we have to be able to satisfy that outcome, but also start to talk to them and get them buying into what this new normal is of the opportunity that only our company or I can provide. And that requires, though, the relationship. That's why this is a beautiful way, I think, to get into that, because you start really ebbing and flowing with people. They get an understanding of your expertise. They get a comfort level. There's this implied sort of relationship already started, because they think they know you, they've heard you, they've listened to your passion, your enthusiasm, you know, they can see the smiles coming through the line, so to speak. So there's just gives you a heads up in so many ways of that whole building that relationship. And in certain industries, it's hard to break in. I mean, it's, I have some clients who work with scientists and, you know, they're not necessarily a chatty bunch. Versus marketing people.
I have a client who's in the innovation commercialization space in healthcare, and exactly the same way. She went out and got a PhD in marketing, partially to be considered on their level, because like scientists are not interested in talking to people that they think are dumb. Let's put it that way.
Right. And education could be that way too. You know, when you're working with professors and things, they're writing papers, you know, are you published? If you're not published, we don't want to talk to you. So yeah, there's a lot of hurdles to overcome. And I think utilizing, again, this is another tool, everybody. It's not to replace anything you're already doing. But for those of you who are looking for ways to kind of stand out from the crowd, as they say, and also to really hone in on what your expertise is and how you can help solve problems. Podcasting is a great way to do that.
Yeah, 100% agreed. Yeah, there's a, I've got a friend of mine who I was introduced to by my business coach, and he's a high level executive recruiter. And so he has two sets of clients he's trying to put together, which are, you know, on the one hand, the boards, the C-suites, and the private hedge fund guys that are hiring people. And then on the other side, you've got high-powered C-suite executives that are being placed. Mm-hmm. It's a tough, cutthroat business. So he, not only does he get interviewed on podcasts, but he runs a podcast called The Aerospace Executive, where he presents himself not just as an authority on recruiting, but an authority on leadership, and he gives his perspective on the industry so people get a sense of the fact that he actually has opinions and really deep level of expertise in the industry itself. And yeah, so that position, like when he walks into a meeting, you know, with a board of directors to hire a new CFO or something, it puts him on an entirely different footing as a, you know, even though he's at its heart, he is a salesperson selling his ability to sell the right person to come work for them. I mean, it's 100% sales all the way through and through. But he walks in on a completely different footing, and versus if he walked in there as just some guy that was an independent recruiter. Right. And so that, yeah, that's the power of the of these new, you know, whether you get interviewed as a guest expert on podcasts or whether you host your own, it puts you in the same position as an expert in your own right. So you walk into a client meeting on as a peer and a colleague and not as someone that they're just going to pay to do a job.
Yes. And you, and then the other thing is you're a trusted advisor because you've, you walk the walk, whether you have a degree or not. And like, you know, if you're working in the steel industry and you don't, you don't have any steel products, but you know, you're, you know what goes on in the steel industry and you know how, what problems they have, what challenges they have. You just immediately get a seat at the table. And that's really what we're trying to do here is allow you, give you guys the tools so that no matter who you're talking to, you have a seat at their table because you have, you've earned that, and you've earned that by doing these other things to build who you are and your authority and your brand. Even if you're working for a company, you're building your expertise on the topic that your company solves.
Yeah.
This is so great. So tell us now. Okay. So now we're all like, wow, this is really cool. I think I want to figure out how to podcast. What equipment? What do you do? I mean, you know, you can't use computer. Like, so you and I, we've been goofing around with the audio here with my thing, but you can't use typically the standard computer audio. So what, you know, what's the next step?
Well, I would say before even looking at starting your own podcast is just to focus, if you're a sales executive or someone that has something to say about your industry, focus on getting interviewed first, because that's a much easier place to start. And it, you know, requires a lot less commitment and consistency. You can kind of dial in, you know, how much you want to be visible and stuff like that by how many, you know, shows you go after and get featured on. The really simple place to start is you don't need anything fancy. So most of us have laptops that are just fine, good enough. And really what you need is just a good microphone that's made for something like podcasting that doesn't have to be in a pristine recording studio environment in order to sound good. For example, I'm speaking into what's called an Audio-Technica ATR-2100. And that cost me the princely sum of $80 on Amazon. Now, what's funny about that is I'm a musician. I've recorded my own album. I've been in recording studios a lot. And I used to have a really nice and more expensive vocal microphone that I used for all my podcasting. And this sounds better.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not made for a studio. It's not made for an environment where everything is absolutely controlled. It's made to be used out in the real world, where the other day I was recording a podcast and the helicopter flew overhead. And then there's a leaf blower 20 feet away from me and all this stuff. Or you have to record from the hotel and there's the maid is cleaning the room next door with the world's loudest vacuum cleaner. Right. So that's, you know, like that, like that's just the way podcasting is if you're a real human being with a life and you like to travel and stuff. So yeah, you don't need an expensive microphone. You need a laptop that you probably already have and an $80 microphone from Amazon, and you're set. And if you have that and you just show up on time and prepared, podcast hosts are going to love you. They're going to appreciate the effort of you having a decent microphone. And that's about all you need.
That's great. And then, as Matt said, there are a plethora of podcast shows that are out there. Do you suggest looking through iTunes, or are there other places that people would look for potential shows that would be a good fit for them?
Yeah, well, I would always start with thinking about who you're, you know, who you're selling to, and thinking about what podcast they're listening to. But you can also go to Google and type in like the best of or the top 10 or whatever podcasts in your space. So the top 10 podcasts in real estate, the top 10 podcasts in aerospace, and some of those are going to be, you know, lists put together by other companies in the space. Some of the podcasts on that list are just going to be good entrepreneurial podcasts that they think people in that space should listen to. Some of them are going to be specific to that industry only. So it's going to be a grab bag. But that's the two places I would start, is start with iTunes and then start with Google search for the best of or the top 10 podcasts in your industry, and just start there. And a lot of times if you find, you know, two or three of them, if you go into iTunes and you pop the name of one of them in and you find their show page, scroll all the way down to the bottom of iTunes, and iTunes is going to suggest 10 or 15 more. And a lot of times that's when you'll find those smaller shows that you might not have found through a Google search, but are maybe even more influential in that space because they're more niche.
That's nice. See, nice tip. Just like LinkedIn, when they first started, if we had a prospect that we wanted to go after, on the right-hand side was all the colleagues he was connected to, which helped us build our influence map. So yep, this exactly. is just really just like nice. That. Love yeah. it. So I want to be respectful of time because, and we're mm-hmm. hitting the top of the hour here. Where should we look for you, or how do you, if someone really wants to have a conversation with you, what's the best way that we can pop in and talk to you?
Yeah. So you can check out the website and turnkey production service at pursuingresults.com. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a training. So if you're an influencer, who's listening, if you're a sales executive, or maybe you're a CEO founder and you want to get your company more attention by you getting out and kind of building your personal brand, which I think every one of us in this economy needs to do anyway, yeah. even if you think you don't need to. So if that's you, just go to howtogetfeatured.com. Because I did a training there where I did go really deep on how to find the right podcast for you, how to leverage the right audiences, how to make the podcast host your friend, so you actually build a more of a strategic or a referral relationship. How to be a good guest, how to come up with a compelling kind of story hook or an angle, so that when you reach out to a podcast host, you can tell them why they should have you as a guest and all that fun stuff, as well as how you can push all that work, the behind the scenes stuff, down to an assistant, a virtual assistant, an intern, or maybe an SDR on the team, something like that. You can basically, there's a way to kind of get all of the behind the scenes work done for you by someone on your team, so that you're not the one doing all the research and the scheduling. You can just show up and hit record and have fun conversations like this.
Okay. One last question, Matt. The audience is understanding that there's workflow behind any success, and we do things in block time and we do things repetitively to build habit. If mm-hmm. you're starting out, what's a good goal to podcast or be a guest on a podcast? Is it one a month, one a week, one a quarter? Do you have some round numbers you can help us sort of understand the landscape of this?
Yes. If you're going really heavy duty, you could set a goal to be featured on 100 in a year. That's actually only 2 a week, and that's entirely doable. But to start out with, yeah, especially if you're really just getting focused on being interviewed in places where your ideal clients are listening, I would just set a target of one a month.
One a month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Matt, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. Now, everybody, I'll put all Matt's information, including that website about how to get featured. .com. I'll make sure that all of those are in his notes. And from there, you guys should really look at this as an option. I know for me personally, podcasting has been such a rewarding process. I mean, I launched a book in 2016 and I said to myself, well, I should probably do a podcast. So for the first 30 days, I did one a day. To launch the book, because that sounded like right. I don't know. I had no, yeah. I had no idea. But now I'm up to, I think, 140. So I just love it. I think it's the best thing. And I hear from so many of you how rewarding you think it is, and that you try some tips from these podcasts and you actually put them into play and they're working. So it's all good. And I do appreciate you taking the time to come speak with us about how to integrate this type of lead generation into the daily activities of anyone, any level, or, to build your brand and expertise. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Mary Lou.